Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. We had a few people comment on the last two shows in response to the interview with Dr. Kevin Barrett. Discussing Zionism is a sensitive topic, but one that I believe needs to be discussed. My goal in doing the interview with Dr. Barrett was not to offend anyone, but to give voice to a point of view that seldom gets heard. Freedom of speech is not only the freedom to speak freely, but also is the freedom to hear freely all points of view. I believe our democracy depends on it. So the question is, do we shy away from controversial issues, or do we try to give a voice to all sides of that issue? So I want to thank the listeners who took the time to let us know how they felt about the last two shows. We always appreciate the feedback. And as is the station's frequently stated policy, alternative viewpoints are welcome. So please let us know if you'd like to share your views on this topic. And one listener criticized some of the specific points that Kevin Barrett made about 9/11, and I'll be addressing those on next week's show. And now for today's show. Last week was a great week for the 9/11 Truth Movement. First, the high-rise safety ballot initiative in New York City reached their goal of 100,000 petition signatures, which should guarantee that it appears on the New York City ballot in November. If the voters approve of it, it will lead to an investigation of the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. And the other good news from last week is that architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, appeared on C-SPAN's program Washington Journal for a full 40 minutes. And how that came about is the focus of today's show. Today you'll hear an interview with Andy Steele. Andy's just a regular guy who began to question the government's account of 9/11. He organized a call-in project to C-SPAN's morning program, Washington Journal, where they frequently interview congresspeople and other government officials and prominent people in Washington, D.C. During the program, they encourage people to call in. So Andy organized this call-in project where people would keep mentioning and confronting congresspeople with questions about 9/11 and in particular World Trade Center Building 7. His efforts to keep the calls coming into C-SPAN for over a year and a half eventually led to Richard Gage getting this 40-minute interview on August 1st. For me, this is an example of how one person can make a difference. It's about a real person exercising his real people power. So let's begin with Andy Steele. Andy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Cheryl.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, and then when you got interested in questioning the official count of 9/11?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I'm just a regular guy who got concerned about this issue in 2006, and I don't really have a specific moment that I started questioning 9/11. I got an email from a friend overseas that had been forwarded a bunch of times. She had gotten it from her American teacher. This was a few days after 9/11 happened, and it was somebody suggesting that there had to have been explosives in the buildings to help bring them down, that our government was behind this. And, you know, I didn't get outright offended like some people do when they first hear about this topic and then not seeing any of the evidence. They just kind of dismissed it and said, oh, wow, these guys, the conspiracy theorists are starting early with this one. And like I said, I dismissed it. And then years later, I came across a video about 9/11 Truth that was on some cartoon video webpage, and I didn't even intend to watch it. I thought it was going to be something else, and it made me ask some questions. I tried to debunk it. I couldn't, and it kind of started me on this path. So it was kind of the short version of it.
So, Andy, architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, was recently given a 40-minute interview on C-SPAN's morning program called Washington Journal. And as our listeners know, the 9/11 Truth Movement, and especially the 2,200 architects and engineers who've documented the scientific evidence that contradicts the official account of 9/11, is pretty much ignored by the corporate mainstream media. So could you tell us about how this project got started and how it developed into this 40-minute interview with Richard Gage, which aired on August 1st on C-SPAN's Washington Journal?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, it was very good, and I want to thank C-SPAN for having the courage to air that and give Richard his 40 minutes to explain to the American public why this issue is real, to lay out the evidence for the millions of viewers worldwide who watch the show to decide for themselves. And, you know, as Richard said during the interview, every one of those viewers who are watching C-SPAN need to be contacting their congressman and asking why we're not looking into the biggest mass murder in U.S. history, why we're not looking to this obvious evidence that these three buildings, these three high-rises in New York were brought down in controlled demolitions. C-SPAN had been receiving a number of calls for about a year and a half before, starting when I first called John McCain on the program and I asked him about Building 7 and the 105 feet of free fall. This was back in, not last April, but the April before it. And John McCain declared ignorance. He said he didn't know much about this issue. He wasn't familiar with this topic, something to that effect. And that was a lie because he had allegedly written the foreword for the Popular Mechanics book attacking 9/11 skeptics. Regardless of whether or not he actually wrote it or it was ghostwritten for him, he still, it's his name on that foreword, so he has to take responsibility for it. But he had also been in correspondence with another 9/11 activist, Blair Gadsby, who had held a hunger strike outside his office back in 2008. And there had been letters written between them. McCain dismissed him, but said if there's any new developments that come up, any new evidence that's science-based, they could look into it again. And this was months before NIST admitted to Building 7's freefall, thanks to David Chandler pressing the issue because of his question that he asked at their technical briefing. He forced them to have to admit to the 105 feet of freefall that McCain got asked about. So that qualifies as new scientific-based evidence. And from this simple question that was asked on C-SPAN's Washington Journal and all of the hard work of other people, Pam Senzi confronted McCain in person too, and because of what Blair Gadsby and his correspondence with McCain, we ended up getting a meeting with McCain's office, with a staffer, and David Chandler and other qualified building professionals were there. David Chandler's a physics teacher, and we got to lay out the evidence for him. Now, McCain obviously didn't do anything with it, but at least it's on record that they've been fully informed of what we bring to the table, of the evidence that we talk about every week on my show, 9/11 Freefall. So that's good. You get it into the record that these people were not ignorant. So we saw the results of that question that I asked on C-SPAN. We said, hey, we could do this again with other congressmen. So I started encouraging people to call into the program and ask very specific, pointed questions of the guests, anybody with any kind of influence, whether they be media or congressmen, whoever, to account for the science, not getting off into a conspiracy or, you know, placing blame, but just very tactical questions about evidence points, physics, that really can't be debated, and to see how they respond to it. And it became a phenomenon on the show, and a lot of people were doing it, and we went on for about a year and a half.
Yeah, I actually did one of those call-ins with you, and immediately once I mentioned Building 7, they cut me off. So I think they were getting a little frustrated with all the people that were calling in. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah. I was getting to a certain point where it was just becoming expected on the program, and C-SPAN's point was that it's off-topic for whatever they're discussing during that segment. My personal view is that if you're a congressman, and given the gravity of 9/11 and everything that was affected by 9/11 still continues to affect our daily lives here, you should be able to handle any kind of national security question, which I think this falls under. But even going with saying it's off-topic, the question then arises, when is it ever going to be on topic? And we saw on August 1st now, it was finally on topic, thanks to the great efforts of so many activists like yourself calling in and asking questions.
Yeah, how did it get to that point? Did you have to negotiate with C-SPAN to make that happen? Or did they just say, well, so many people want this, we might as well just do this? Or how did that happen?
Well, I talked with the head of the program, and we discussed it with each other. I won't go into details of things that we discussed, because it was kind of interesting, because you start to see the other side of kind of what you're up against. And I kind of look at the media as existing on the other side of a glass wall, because we see these people on the television screen. The television screen's made out of glass, and we start trying to interpret what their motivations are. If they cut somebody off before they can get the question out, wondering, you know, if it's because of personal bias or if there's something bigger or deeper involved. But it's good to actually reach out and talk to the people. And first thing you realize is that people are human and they've got their own concerns that you might not have even thought of. And that's why it's so important to actually practice real activism. I've heard other people say, who've been activists for years, that one of the problems that we have in our movement is that people don't actually want to be activists. They want to research and talk about the evidence amongst each other, but to actually reach out and do these things where you need to talk to somebody at a television station, somebody who's not the host, but maybe is running things behind the scenes, some people shy away from that. And I think that's bad. I think that we need to be doing more of that and starting to see those who we kind of perceive as opposition more as human and trying to find some kind of middle ground. And then we see things like what we saw last week. Because in a lot of cases, and this is what I find, is that a lot of people are just ignorant. When I first got that email a few days after 9/11, I had that same kind of reaction. I was like, okay, you know, this is conspiracy theory. We were conditioned to laugh at it. Don't take it seriously. And it took years for me to actually come across something that actually laid out real evidence that I would pay attention to realize, no, this is serious. So I think in a lot of cases, it's just ignorance on the part of people in the media that this is real. So that's why we need to educate more of them and drive home the point that, no, this is actually science-based. 9/11 victim family members are in support of a new investigation, and sometimes you have to be creative and get their attention to do that. So these are the kind of things that people need to be pursuing, be respectful, but figure out ways to get attention to the issue however you can.
Yeah, I think this is a brilliant thing that you did. So Richard Gage was on Friday, August 1st, for, I guess, 40 minutes with Peter Slen on Washington Journal on C-SPAN. And I thought that that was a fair interview also. I don't know, what did you think of that? I thought it was very balanced. I didn't think that they were attacking him in any way.
No, I thought it was very fair. Peter Slen essentially just asked him what his group was about or something to that effect in the first minute. And Richard went off. They essentially gave him the 40 minutes. Peter Slen asked him some talking points from the NIST page about the World Trade Center 7 report. And, of course, you would expect him to do that as a journalist, another side. As long as the journalist isn't attacking somebody, you know, calling him a nut like Sean Hannity would do to somebody if they brought a 9/11 truth person onto his show, that kind of stuff, it's fair and expected to ask questions, ask tough questions. And he brought up points from the NIST report, and Richard knocked him down one after another. I mean, Richard did very well, but I thought the interview was very fair, better than we've had in other shows.
Right. I really appreciated that they played the clip of Dan Rather on 9/11 reporting that the buildings were coming. They showed a picture of, I think it was Building 7 collapsing, and saying it looked like a controlled demolition. I mean, they were willing to do that also. So, yeah, I thought that was good. So I was just checking on C-SPAN this morning, and this is now August 4th when we're recording this, and there were 45,600-plus views of the Gage interview now, which to me, looking at the number of the views the other shows get, this is huge. I mean, this is really showing how popular this is with people. Do you see this happening again, another show being done?
On C-SPAN, I don't know. I don't know what's going on the other side there. I imagine it must have been a very difficult decision. And again, I'm not speaking for anybody over on C-SPAN's side. I'm just kind of speculating. I imagine it must have been a very difficult decision. And that's something that we need to sympathize with people who are in these positions to make these kinds of decisions. There's a lot of pressure, I would imagine, on these folks to not show certain things. So, you know, again, I don't know what they plan to do in the future. However, I do think that they are going to take note. I mean, you said 45,000. Actually, I just hit refresh on my computer. I've been kind of off and on following this today. It's up to 48,004 views here as we record this interview.
Wow.
So I bet you we're going to break 50,000 by the end of today. Oh. So you know that they take notice of that. And so it always discourages me. And I go into this on my show, 9/11 Freefall, this week briefly during my interview with Robert McCoy that I'll be playing. But people often will say that they have no power, that they can't do anything. And my counter to that is, look at all the money and time and energy the establishment, you know, the people that we're up against. Look at all that they put into trying to keep you asleep, all the money that they put into propaganda. If you really didn't have any power, they wouldn't be spending this much time trying to keep you asleep to the fact. All right, the fact that you do have power, that you do have potential, is reflected in the effort that they put into trying to keep the evidence away from you. Because once you realize what you can do, then you can actually put a stop to this. I mean, look what a handful of people were able to do in this case. Now,
right.
Imagine what you can bring to the table. Imagine what kind of ideas that you could generate. Now, even if it's something small, I understand people work, people have kids, you know, people have other more immediate concerns pressing at them that they may not be able to do 9/11 Truth 24/7 or even on a daily basis, but just going to a video and watching it, I mean, makes like this view count tick up. And you got to know that they're seeing that their views on this particular guest, Richard Gage, is getting them a lot of exposure and making the ratings skyrocket. They acknowledged during the interview that they were getting a lot of calls. Or Peter Slynn said, we're taking a lot of calls today. I took that as a sign that a lot of people were calling in. So they see that this is where America is right now. It has to factor into whatever future decisions they make. So you absolutely have a lot of power. You have power to call C-SPAN, their corporate office, and just thank them for having Richard Gage on. You have power just through your voice, through the small things that you do. So I don't want to hear excuses anymore from people who say that nobody is ever going to listen to you. Nobody is ever going to do anything. This is just going to remain a mystery of history forever. Okay, we've proven that doesn't have to be. That's a cop-out. Or people who wait for some far-off Armageddon or something, well, before they're actually going to stand up and do something. People always talk about the day the stuff is going to hit the fan, and then, you know, that's what I'm getting ready for. No, that's a cop-out. That's basically just delaying your responsibility as an activist to a day that probably won't even ever come. All right, so, and the other thing, and I've raised this point before, is that if you're not willing to do a simple thing like hang a pamphlet at your local grocery store on the bulletin board or call a show or call a network and thank them for bringing a guest on, then how could anybody expect you to have their back if there is really some kind of crazy situation that developed that a lot of people are waiting for? Okay, I think that's just kind of a myth, and it's a way for people to abdicate their responsibilities. The time to act is now, and the way you act can be big or small, but the key thing is just to create some kind of resistance however you can. And, you know, how you do that is up to you.
Right, and in the 9/11 Truth Movement, I mean, there are people all over the world trying to bring this information out, researching it, getting it out, doing what you did. And so collectively, we really make a difference. And I think that if people can see that their actions or contributions to the truth, no matter how small, enhance the larger force that then makes a difference. And the lack of their action has an impact in weakening the united energy that can make a difference. So it's really important to do something. And at the end of the show, I will be giving the number to call in to C-SPAN. So people want to do that, I'll provide the number. I can also give you the email address. And if you just go to cspan.org and click on the videos and then just put in Richard Gage's name in the research box, you'll get the video that he did on August 1st. And you can watch it and view it and make those numbers go up. And, you know, they do take notes. Now, the following day on C-SPAN, on August 2nd, they had an interview with an editor from, I think it was Newsweek magazine, Kurt Eichenman. And he's written an article recently about how dangerous conspiracy theories are. And 9/11 came up in the conversation. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about that. Did they need to create a balance? Are they getting so much pressure that they had to do this the following day? Or what your thoughts are on that?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate on what the motivations were. You know, but he was on, and he didn't really say much. I mean, it was kind of hollow. It was essentially, at one point they played a clip of Richard Gage, and, you know, just some segment from Richard's interview. And what Kurt Eichenwald had to say essentially was, well, why would they bring the building down? That was his whole argument. Why would they do that? Earlier in the interview, they were talking about some other topic. I don't remember what the conspiracy theory he was talking about was, but he was saying something like, you know, conspiracy theorists to prove their point need to have things published in peer-reviewed journals. Well, AE 9/11 Truth has, with the
right.
Thermite. So basically, he kind of made our point. Even if some people may not see the connection, you got to kind of step back and look at it from above, you know, on a macro scale. He kind of made our point for us, and he really just said a lot of nothing, and nobody supported him. Not one single person who called that day that I can recall supported him. At one point, one guy, what triggered them to talk about Richard Gage's interview was that somebody called in and thanked C-SPAN for having Richard on the day before, almost kind of just stepping in front of the guest and ignoring him like he's not even there. So I really don't put a lot of stock in what Kurt Eichenwald had to say, because he didn't really have much to say about anything, especially with 9/11 Truth. He didn't really debunk anything, didn't really attack what Richard had to say. His only question was why, and that's kind of the question that 9/11 Truth asked too, because they don't get into complicity or who was responsible. They just get into the science. So if there was an intention, or if Kurt Eichenwald sought to try to debunk Richard Gage, he failed miserably.
So where do you see yourself going from here? Will you now go back to organizing call-ins, or has that run its course? And what do you see for yourself going from here?
Well, I mean, I decided to give C-SPAN a rest. They put Richard on. They've discussed it. To the people listening, if you want to mention Building 7 on there, I'd wait for it to be on topic. I mean, if they're talking about gay rights or something, don't lie to the screener and barrage them with Building 7. The time for that stuff is has passed, and they've aired it, and they've discussed it. They gave Richard his time. Now, if somebody's on there and they're promoting war, or they're talking about 9/11, they're talking about the destruction of the Twin Towers or something like that, you know, go on and tell the screener that's what you want to bring onto the show, that you want to talk about the science that it was a controlled demolition. And then it's up to the screener. You know, if they want you to be on there, then it's, the ball's in their court, and they put you on themselves. With regard to what I plan to do as an activist, we'd like to get Richard on more shows. I'm actually now the head of the media outreach team, so that's kind of the plan there, to try to spring from this great opportunity that C-SPAN gave us into getting him onto more mainstream shows if possible, or just even smaller shows, but you know, getting more exposure for this issue. Maybe not even just with Richard Gage, but other experts who know about this topic and can speak for it. And just see where we go from there. I mean, there's so many things that can be done, and people out there listening to this right now, like I said before, have a duty to get the word out however they can. So if, you know, if Richard Gage is coming to your local area to speak, I don't know of any future plans for presentations, but they may come up, you know, write to your local newspaper, write an article about it, be the citizen journalist, do the work that the media is not doing, and then eventually to stay relevant, they'll have to catch up and start writing about it themselves. And I think that's what's happening, is we've given more legitimacy to this issue in the eyes of many journalists by appearing on television now and speaking to the millions of people. And the fact that everybody is thanking C-SPAN for doing this shows this is really where America is. I'd love to know what kind of conversations are going on at NIST right now.
But
it really does set a precedent and shows that we mean business and this issue is only gaining momentum.
And Andy, could you tell us a little bit about your radio show that you do called 9/11 Freefall?
Sure. It's an internet radio show. It's a podcast that airs on No Lies Radio, nolivesradio.org, every Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Just on a weekly basis, I interviewed various experts, like the ones you see in 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, the movie put out by AE 9/11 Truth. So I interviewed them. I interview activists just doing whatever they can. I think it's a pretty good, well-rounded show. We mainly focus on the science of the building destructions in New York and getting AE 9/11 Truth message out. But technically, it is separate from AE, so you know, I can bring on people who aren't necessarily scientists. They may be like Vic Sado I had on a few weeks ago. He's a singer-songwriter, has written many songs about 9/11 Truth, brought on a congressional candidate who is aware about Building 7 and very passionate about getting a new investigation. So the focus is 9/11 Truth, 9/11 science, but it comes at it from so many different angles, because just because something focuses on one narrow aspect of 9/11 doesn't mean that the people bringing attention to the public can all fit into the same cookie-cutter mold. So many interesting people out there, so many talented people with different talents sounding the alarm on this issue, I think that they should be showcased, and that's kind of what 9/11 Freefall does.
Andy, is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I just want to tell everybody to get educated, get active. Everybody's got a talent that they can bring to the table, something that you can do to spread the word. You've probably been thinking about doing it. Well, the time to act is now. You don't have to do it alone either, and you don't have to do anything as spectacular as writing, you know, Google WTC7 on the moon in bright lights. It can be something small. Just however you can create resistance, do it, because you don't know what it'll lead to. I mean, when we started calling C-SPAN, we didn't know that it would lead to what it led to. It just kind of developed. That's kind of what happens in life. Sometimes when things are meant to be, I believe this gets a little bit beyond science, but I just think that sometimes when you have a certain instinct to do something, certain feeling to do something, you should just follow it and see where it takes you. It's kind of like a map that slowly reveals each step as you take them. So, you know, act on your instincts, do whatever you can, get active, get informed, and spread the word.
Yeah, great message, Andy, great message. Well, listen, thanks again for all that you've done to bring about this Richard Gage interview on C-SPAN, and it keeps climbing the number of views, so hopefully that'll make a big statement. And if you want to learn more about Andy Steele and his work, you can listen to his radio show, 9/11 Freefall, on nolizradio.org.
And you can also go to 911freefall.com.
Yes, and again, that's 911freefall.com. Andy Steele, thanks for all that you do for 9/11 Truth. And thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And again, that was an interview with Andrew Steele, radio show host of 9/11 Freefall. Please take the time to go to cspan.org and view architect Richard Gage's interview on Washington Journal on Friday, August 1st. And I just checked the number of views that Richard Gage's interview has received on C-SPAN, and now it's up to 51,155. So it just keeps growing hour after hour. And here's one more thing you can do to exercise your personal people power. On Thursday, September 11th, we'll be showing the new movie, The Anatomy of a Great Deception. It's one man's journey into 9/11 truth, and the movie he produces to get his family and friends on board with him, instead of just referring to him as crazy. The film was a success and turned his family and friends around. So if you or your family and friends are like his were, please come out to the movie and bring all those doubters with you. And on a final note today, the Rethink 9/11 campaign is going back to New York City in September, this time with a billboard across the street from the New York Times. Apparently, on C-SPAN, the New York Times chief correspondent David Sanger is quoted as saying, "We've not found any evidence so far to suggest that the building collapses were caused by anything other than the two airplanes," unquote. So this is going to be on the top of the banner, and then below it are these bullet points. Low fire temps, sudden onset, near freefall descent, symmetry, pulverization of concrete, lateral ejection of steel, demolition squibs, molten metal, explosive residues, reports of explosions. And below that, it says, quote, "Clearly you haven't been looking," unquote. So they need your help, and if you want to see this billboard and help them out if you can, just go to architectsandengineersfor911truth.org, and it's right there on their front page. And this concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.